Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your life connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Voice for Spirit, live on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, monthly on the third Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. This is your opportunity to listen live with host Princess Deb. Deborah refers to her work as a voice for spirit to help those seeking enlightenment understand their own connection to the source of all life so they may empower themselves to create the life they wish to live. Deborah will discuss topics and tools on how to take your soul back to its original blueprint. I know Deborah has a lot of wonderful information for you this evening and also a wonderful guest. So without further ado, welcome, Deb.
Hey, Courtney. Thanks for the introduction. Well, tonight, in honor of the new moon that's coming tomorrow, I have my guest, Sarah, who is basically the founder of the Ghost Club. And, you know, founder and co-owner of VP Paranormal. And some of you guys already know out there because I put it on my Facebook everywhere and on social media everywhere that I am now a part of that team, and I am, like, overjoyed, way excited about it, and just excited to just get into some shenanigans just with ghosts and everything. So Sarah's here with me tonight to kind of even give an introduction to the VP Paranormal and just some interesting kind of like feedback in just the development of the, you know, paranormal group, and just to give you a little history on her and her sisters who kind of started it and I just joined, and just give you a little feedback on what we plan to do and how it came about and maybe how we met and from on and on. So Sarah is here. So say hi, Sarah.
Hi.
So Sarah and I met through Mary Ann, who is a mutual friend of ours. We absolutely love, 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 love. I have to say thank you, Mary Ann. I got my gift. I have to say it really, really quick. I'm very, very excited. You'll see pictures on Facebook tonight. Anyway, Mary Ann introduced us, and from there, me and Sarah were just like kids in a candy store as far as our relationship, and it kind of just clicked. But what I loved about Sarah is that she definitely has that scientific mind as far as, like, the paranormal. So she's not someone that goes in and is exactly, like, looking for a ghost. Like, she goes in, and she's more, I would say, of debunking. But I like her middle ground and the way that she kind of, like, explains things. So, Sarah, with you, even just when we met, you know, I had asked you, like, you know, what was your point of view, and we were talking about other different paranormal groups,
yeah,
and their, you know, like, whole thing.
Yeah.
And you were telling me, you know, explain a little bit, like, what you were telling me. You were seeing, like, the difference between you guys and them.
Right.
That you had noticed, like, the difference.
Right. So the team itself is my sisters and I, two older sisters, and we started the team, and, you know, yeah, it was for fun, and it's always when you kind of get started, it's, you know, you get really caught up in the fear, but probably what kind of doesn't necessarily go in and believe the set stories that are told, and then we don't go in and automatically say, oh my God, there's a demon, or every bump that you hear is not going to be a ghost. So I think we try really hard to maybe explain the other side, because I think it's around us every day.
Right.
And so it's not this grand big story that only a few people can handle and the rest of, you know, the rest of us can't.
Right.
I think that, you know, we have to go in there looking at it like it's a realistic thing.
Right.
And the experiences are probably a little bit more realistic than maybe. So, and I'm not trying to call out, there's always, you know, there's tons of paranormal teams out there. So I think for different personalities, there's so many people you can reach out to.
Right.
We hope to kind of reach out to the people that are looking for a little bit more of a realistic experience in paranormal.
So basically you guys go in and basically look at, you know, what I like, the psychology kind of part of
right.
it. Let's look at that
right.
first
right.
of everything before we see a house that's,
right.
you know, got you know, some old creeks or,
absolutely,
you know, that aspect, like really dissecting the person first.
And I think
everything.
That's right. Paranormal definitely plays off the person you're working with. So you have to be careful and you have to read between the lines, because you'll see some, I don't like to use the word client, but for people who reach out for help, you know, you can go into some people's homes and they'll have it kind of at level 10 and they're really
right.
Kind of, and you have to kind of dissect what they're saying. You have to read between the lines. You have to understand what personal, like, I guess here, maybe the best way for me is, I think our team tries to go in and first see, is something human made,
right?
And then is it human condition? And then you can start picking away at the paranormal. I just think that a lot of times groups go in and before they realize, is it something that's been human made and is it a human condition, they go right to the paranormal. So
right.
we try to go through a little bit of a, you know, a process before we just claim something to be haunted.
Which I really love. And the other thing that was really interesting, you know, just working with your sisters, you know, and, you know, we're going to introduce them. You're going to tell me a little bit about them, because just to having someone who does the history part of everything was really different.
Right.
And to really, like, know their shit was really cool on it, you know. And then, you know, the other thing I have to say, you know, she has my namesake,
yes,
and
true.
It was great meeting Dad. Hi, Dad, you know. But I want to go in and introduce her sisters, like, who does what.
Okay. So I'll go by age.
Yes.
I'm sure my sisters will appreciate that. So,
right. You can kill her later.
That's right. So the oldest of the three sisters is Michelle, and she is out of Buffalo, New York, or West Seneca, so the Western New York area. Her personality is she's very adventuresome, and she kind of just goes right into anything. Like, if the scarier it looks, like, she makes us, like, we're going to do it. She goes,
right.
No is not an answer.
So she just jumps right in.
Yeah. So
she's like my scary white person on the screen.
Yeah.
That kind of, like, just jumps in. We're going to do it. We're going to go right into danger.
You can't pass any abandoned house without her going, we got to stop. I got to go look.
Oh, that's cool.
She's also the first person to, like, get out. Like,
okay. And then she turns into the black person.
That's right. Yeah. So she gets super, like, she gets very freaked out. But she does push us to explore things that maybe we wouldn't explore, because, like,
cool.
I get a little bit more, the word isn't logical, but I might get a little bit, like, mothery and, you know, we're not going to go in there, that's not safe. But
mm-hmm.
she kind of pushes us to do that. And then there's Debbie or Deborah or Deb,
yeah.
who is the middle sister. And she is very, she's very logical. She works at her high school library and she loves research. And I think that's huge. I think when, as a paranormal team, if you don't put the time in into research, I think you do the place a big unjust. You have to, like, really know what you're looking at, what you're looking for. And like I said earlier, I don't like the fabricated story.
Right.
Because I think that, when you start dealing in the paranormal, I get that there's a location that will have a story stuck to it, but maybe that's not the story that wants to be told. Maybe
exactly.
there are other stories that are out there that want to be told. So I think it's really important to kind of have that research backing behind you. And, you know, kind of like you mentioned, like, we did a hunt with you this summer. And it was kind of a cool thing for us because we've never worked with a psychic medium before.
Yeah, that was interesting, even with you guys as a team. And I, you know, want my audience to know, too, that this was the first team that I had ever heard. You guys didn't have any kind of, like, psychic medium or psychic, you know, because that's two different things, people, psychic and medium. There's some people who are psychic and medium, have mediumship skills, and then there's some that are just psychic, and then there's some that's just medium. So I was really surprised that you guys had never worked that way. The other thing that was really interesting, because this is the team that I did this, Dick's World, hunting with in Ann Arbor. And it was very interesting that you guys came and you had never worked with anyone as far as intuitive on it. But what I thought was really fascinating is that you guys, you know, beforehand did the research on the land and the cemetery. I mean, like, everything around there. And that, like, blew me away.
Well, and I think that's the part that, and I know a lot of teams do that. But I think that's the part that I like. You know, one, we're sisters, and now we've got our soul sister with us.
Yes.
So we're sisters, and we enjoy the adventure. And it's a term that my sisters and I have used for years, doing mini adventures. And so, you know, we oftentimes go into town blindly, and you just kind of start looking around. And so when we knew we were doing Vicksburg, we did some basic research.
Right.
We didn't dig super deep, but we did dig a little bit. And we always like to go to the location, you know, prior to, and, you know, the same day, but a little bit prior to, and go to the cemetery, touch some history, look at the places around it. And all that stuff affects it. And Vicksburg is really unique because it's a really, really small town.
Yeah, very small town.
And I think the cool thing about that was before you even got there, you had a couple.
Before I got there, any investigation that I go to is like the night before. I'll usually have a haunting of a dead person, or I'll have, you know, I would say a vision or premonition. Or I'll get names,
right.
which would be the dead person. And that was really unique that I had, like, you know, names or, you know, something that was, like, coming to me
right.
that I kind of put out there before we all went, you know.
And I was watching
you guys.
Facebook. We were already kind of roaming around the town. And so when you put it out there, a name, and we went right to the cemetery, it was like, okay, now let's look.
Right.
And, you know, I think that, again, and it kind of, to me, if you're going to do an investigation, and this is just personal preference.
Right.
I mean, you should be respectful to the history you're going to learn. And I always find it to be very important that if we're going to do this, we should walk away with some form of a lesson of, you know, I like to walk away with something new of history.
Right.
I learn one more thing, you know. And I know Dixboro, the general store, does have its little well-known haunting.
Yeah.
And everybody kind of sticks to that one story. But the interesting thing was for that particular investigation is you came up with a name. Although I did not find the correct gravesite, I did find one gravesite with the name on it, but his is in that same cemetery.
Right.
And then when you were there, you saw two more people.
Right.
And
that I had no clue
right.
about.
So, you know, I think the thing is you have to remember when you do these things, you can't walk out thinking you didn't get anything because you probably did. And then your investigation's
right.
never over
exactly.
when you leave.
Exactly.
So we happened to buy a local book from the store. And I believe it was, oh my gosh, I can't remember. And it's like they're saying on their sign, I apologize. But we looked through the book and we actually tagged the name you gave and the two people you possibly saw, which make complete and utter sense to why it was in that building.
That's
so crazy. For me, I felt like maybe this particular person was kind of like, the other person always gets the story here. I'm
right.
here. I have a connection. And it was,
right.
so it was kind of neat for us, I think, to be able to work. And I don't normally, I mean, I love psychic mediums. That's a part that kind of brings my mom into this.
Right.
It was something her and I did together when I was growing up. But for us, our team is very, like, it's been just everyday people, you know. And it's no disrespect to other teams, but we don't kind of put demonologists or Wiccans or witches. We don't have
right.
that aspect to our team. We have a speech pathologist who works on our EVPs with us because what better person?
Right. That is, like, amazing to me.
Yeah, to be able to go over.
Oh, to go over
yeah.
and take out those sounds.
Yeah, and Wynn is a very good girlfriend of mine. Wynn Williams is amazing, and she even nails things that you miss, and she can give you syllables, and it's like, oh my gosh.
Wow.
We work with nurses. You know, anything that I think, you have to knock out, is it man-made, is it human condition, and then you can get down to the paranormal. So I just think for us, it's, you know, everybody has their journey.
Right.
Every team has their
right.
thing. I'm not taking it away from them. But I think the field is really saturated with that. I think there are so many demonologists out there. I don't need to be that. I don't need
right.
to have that on our team. I want to get to the everyday things that
right.
can be reaching out to touch us. And I think
right.
that they do happen every day.
Right. And I think that's good. And I think that's what I like because, you know, you guys focus on more of, like, the smaller projects, and when I say that, then the big places, like, everyone's heard of Waverly, and
right.
everyone's heard of Shawshank, and everyone's heard of, like, asylums, and people know on my Facebook I've been locked down in certain bigger places and gotten certain evidence and, you know, pictures, but I always want to tackle, you know, small houses, you know, or I hate to say haunted houses because
right.
we don't really know if they are,
right.
but we like the individual
yeah.
of when someone's calling and saying they need a cleansing
yeah.
and come to find out it's not really a damn cleansing. It's really like someone says something's there or something's going on, where in you guys' work you go in and it's like, okay, this is tied to this
right.
or this is tied to that.
But that's part of the fun to me of the paranormal. It's a mystery. You're living out a mystery. And like I said, it doesn't end when the investigation's over. The investigation's
right.
really never over. And it's a great way to learn history. It's a great way to meet people. It's, you know, it's interesting how personalities just kind of play a big part in it. And
right.
so as our team kind of got more organized, dare I say, I mean, my sisters and I have been interested in this forever, but as we became more organized and started to kind of really spend time and effort in the research of paranormal, then you kind of start realizing, like, you know, that learning curve is never over, number
right.
one. So I don't, then there's always a touchy subject. I know there are people out there that will say, you know, they're an expert. I don't know if I believe there's really an expert in paranormal. I think you either have a lot of experience
right.
and you can share that. However, there's not a set rule. So I don't like to, as you know,
right.
I don't like
right.
to say, if I were to go into a house, I don't like to say, well, ghosts don't like when you, or ghosts don't do when they. You can't say that. There
I mean, I believe
truth.
That, too, because there's so many worlds on the other side that, I mean, just personally coming from me and just seeing certain things around people that other people can't see,
right.
that how can you be an expert? There's no book that's written on this shit. It's nothing that's there. And,
right. and the books that are,
right.
it's not hardcore science. All
right.
the science is now kind of hooking up with it, and there are things now that they can say, okay, the soul does
right.
go on.
Right.
But I think that you're taking, I mean, you and I have talked about this at length. I mean, between culture and religion and
right.
geography, you know, all these things play a part in people's belief system.
Right.
And so as I think our team kind of moves on and grows in our experience, I try really, really hard to kind of drop the conditioned belief, although it's very hard to do
yeah,
at times,
it is.
And try to really understand what could be coming through on the other side. So I love the fact that we got to add you, and you're right, when we first met, as you know, I want to just crawl up in your lap and sit down and just, I could have talked for hours.
She's in my lap right now, everyone. She's in my lap right now.
And, you know, I think that it was, I think the thing I love is that you allow me to be skeptical when I want to be. And I think you offer information that makes me think, kind of like our conversation just, you know, last week. And
right.
it did change my view. And our views are always, I think, for our team, we're always willing to change our views because, again,
we're open.
We're learning the curve, and,
right.
and every experience gives us a little bit more. Something we really thought we believed then kind of changed our mind when we were on this investigation, or if we thought we would never believe that. I think that we are willing to, but it's got to be realistic.
Right.
So I hope
Definitely
that,
right.
yeah, I
yeah.
hope that people, if they, and like you said, with the home studies, you know, it's really got to be realistic. These are people's homes. I love the bigger venues.
Yeah.
I think they're amazing, and I think that people should always do them because you help preserve history when you pay for that stuff. I think it's
right.
hugely important.
Right.
But I think when you do home studies, that's a whole different technique of paranormal investigation.
It is.
And
it
you
is.
Have to be very careful. I don't think how you go into Waverly
right.
is exactly how you should go into a home study.
No, it's totally, of course, totally, totally different. And I was just going to bring that up, you know, because home, you know, compared to home studies and public hunts,
right.
you know, we talked about that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And with you guys' team, I mean, how do you feel about public hunts? I mean, have you guys mm-hmm. went into certain places and you're like, it's nothing there.
Right.
We didn't hear nothing.
And I thought about this question actually for a while. I'll just put that out there. Good question, Deborah. I did think about this question actually for a while because just because it didn't happen when I was there doesn't mean it's not so. And I want to make sure that people understand that just because it hasn't happened to me, that I'm just saying, well, it's not realistic.
Right.
We do have our views. Our team does not view the negative. And, you know, if there's positive, there's negative. We get that. We just don't believe in the demonic realm of it.
No.
And in the 20-some years that I've been involved in paranormal, I've never seen a head spin. I've never seen furniture thrown across the room. Those things haven't happened. And I think that, you know, people's personal energy can play into that.
Right.
But I think public hunts are amazing. I think you should explore them because I think that it gets you out there and meet a lot of different people that are interested in paranormal. Yes, I have gone to locations. There's one in Bethany, New York that's very popular, Rolling Hills, and we've been there a couple times. And, you know, we literally could be in the same room or the room right next door where we just spent, say, 25 minutes sitting there looking at a ball and nothing happened, right? And you move on to the next, and not 2 seconds into it, two other women will come in and go, oh, my God, the ball's all over the place. And I don't know if that's true.
Right.
I just don't think it happens the way they say it does. I think when you go in, power of suggestion is very, very huge and powerful.
Right.
Which is energy. So I think if you tell them this is what's going to happen, I prefer when I go into a public hunt, I really wish they wouldn't do the introduction of, well, before you guys got here, we had crazy activity. Because once they say that, I know we're going to get results. Nothing.
Right.
And it happens every time that
way. Right.
I would say for us, and actually to put this out there as well, I would be very leery of a paranormal team that gets 100% hits when they go out. If they say every time they go out, they get a crazy they're not looking at their evidence in a skeptical and or debunk or try to figure out what else could be causing that. I just don't think any team realistically gets 100% hit. But again, you know, we get mostly voices. We get mostly EVPs. Possible camera things, pictures, videos. However, now you can bring in a photographer and they can explain a lot of that away.
Right.
So it would have to be pretty crazy evidence for me to go. You know, I'm not a huge fan of orbs.
Right.
I don't think my sisters are as huge, but there are some pictures that you go, okay, that's kind of crazy. And then your personal experience plays into it.
Exactly.
So I think if you're honest about what you're feeling right then and there, then it's kind of like when we were at Vicksburg, right? Like for us, there was one person that was there investigating that kind of had big experiences.
Right.
I was right next to her and didn't feel anything. That doesn't mean that there wasn't anything happening.
Right.
It just wasn't where I opened myself up to, or it wasn't. I don't know because I wasn't investigating her.
Right.
I was investigating the location. So
where with me, it was like sitting there, and then I started reading all of you.
Right.
Like it wasn't anything that I felt like was kind of there. I only had that one thing with that big ass face that was there.
But the location was amazing because you're talking about Plymouth Road.
Right.
It was the main
and then the crossroads and it was really very interesting.
Yes.
And, you know, and like I said, it was just, you know, very older, and I mean, we had more activity outside than anything. We were mostly inside, and to be a place to do outside again.
And like you said, you kept saying you saw people, I think, gathering, or you had a lot of people stopping by in one area outside before we walked in.
Yeah.
I said, okay, well, this was the main road between Detroit and Ann Arbor for trade. That particular store
was
like
interesting.
A stop.
Yeah.
And they also, when you dig into the history, every year, they would have, and nobody knows where they were going or where they came from, but once a year, gypsies would come in and steal wood from the people and go out in the field and hang out for a night or two, and then they would be gone. So it was interesting to me what you were, and I guess that's what I kind of liked about it. It was like, okay, it's really cool that you're saying things before you knew anything we knew, and then to be able to validate that information.
Right.
And I probably wouldn't work with, well, we just mesh. So for me, that's a good thing. But again, I think you allow us to be skeptical, and I think you're willing to question as well if we bring you stuff. And
that's
the
definitely
thing that works well for us. And again, every team's different. I just hope that people, when they would meet us, you know, we're an all-women team, which I think is
really cool. We were saying that the other day when we met for our meeting, we were saying that we were like, we looked around and we were like, oh, my God, I think we're like one of the first, like, all-women kind of like team, and we're like chicks that really look good. Like, well, I mean, literally, like, we really look good. Like, once we do the photo shoot, I think people are going to be like,
we're not
okay.
We're just
hot.
We're just hot.
You know? Like, wait till we get our outfit.
That's right. That's right. Now we have an official ghost hunting outfit.
Exactly. I think the sisters just now know we're getting outfits.
That's right. So, I think that, you know, we do have men guest investigators. But
yeah.
I like the fact that, one, I don't want our team to ever be this team that's 50 people deep.
Right.
I think that doesn't mean you can't invite people to come investigate. But I think keeping the team in a smaller kind of, group and just learning what we can learn. And then that's kind of where Ghost Club Detroit comes in, where then you can take that and give it.
So talk about Ghost Club Detroit so they know the difference from us and Ghost Club Detroit.
I started, once again, our friend Mary Ann. I kind of started Ghost Club Detroit because she was so sweet. And anytime I would talk about paranormal, she always kind of felt like it had this negative connotation to it, like that it was just kind of, you know, like, oh, it's don't you have to say it like that? And I'm like, it's not what you think. It's not the movies. I'm sorry to have to say it. It's not even the TV shows. So it's a lot of boring hanging out. So you've got to like your teammates.
Right.
You do a lot of hanging out and talking. So Ghost Club Detroit, I kind of started so people could understand what it was we did in the field. And kind of an unbiased look at paranormal. And then as we kind of got into it, what I realized is I would love for Ghost Club Detroit to be something where I would love to invite other paranormal investigators to participate. I think you should hear all sides of people's techniques and talents and experiences.
And their evidence.
Yeah, and their evidence. And teach us new things.
Yeah.
And so I think that we're VP Paranormal, that is the team. And we, although are open to learning new things, that's our team and we have the way we do things. Ghost Club Detroit is kind of like, if we were going to do maybe a public hunt that was for a historical site, I think that kind of falls under Ghost Club Detroit where it helps, with preservation and it's kind of an unbiased investigation
and invite people
where our team is really about
VP Paranormal is more the professional end.
The professional
people
end.
Call
study,
and want us to come in and investigate.
Absolutely.
This is where you could call us and say I have this or maybe it needs a cleansing or that kind of type of thing.
Absolutely.
Where Ghost Club Detroit is basically where we can invite people to different meetings or guest speakers classes, learn about equipment, learn about, tools or, see other people's evidence or other people can come and voice their opinion.
I guess kind of like a support group for paranormal.
Yeah.
Everybody's welcome as long as you're open. I feel like Ghost Club Detroit's not really about one person's moment to shine. It's just kind of a place if you are interested in paranormal that you can sit down and talk. And I really urge, we do have Facebook pages, VP Paranormal and Ghost Club Detroit. Check them out. Talk to us. I can't really get people yet that will want it. I mean, lots of people, I know you guys are out there looking at it. I can see that, but nobody's really interacting. But please, we're open to your suggestions and your opinions. Doesn't mean I'm going to necessarily agree with them, but we're open to it. And, we want to hear what's out there.
Yeah, definitely go to the page and like the page, VP Paranormal and Ghost Club Detroit.
Yep.
Go ahead and like the page. We'll be doing a lot of activity on there. And it's a lot of, activity, of course, I'll be in. So you guys definitely want to pay attention to that. I try not to put everything on my Facebook page, but it definitely will be linked to all the time that I'm doing something. But as far as, details, you'll have to go to those pages, for the details. The other thing that was really interesting is the equipment.
Right.
The different equipment that we see certain people, I want to go back. Because, you were saying you weren't into the demonology and things like that. And I want people to know that basically as far as, because I know people are going to ask as far as, what my view is. Well, with me, I'm open to some of everything because I'm just scary. So,
no, you're scary. You're not scary.
I'm just a scary person. So for me, I haven't seen it. It doesn't mean that I don't believe it, but I definitely agree with, Sarah, she hasn't seen it. She doesn't have any evidence of it. So, therefore, for them, it may not, exist. For me, I haven't seen it. I haven't, I felt things that feel off or feel very evil. People will say demon. but I have never, you know, walked into an investigation where, you know, like they say is rare and few and far and in between.
Right.
But I don't know if it exists. You're absolutely right. Like,
I just listened to an amazing, and I don't have her name and I should have written it down, but I just listened to an amazing radio show, and they had a guest who, she works with demons, and she said that the actuality of a demon possessing a human is like 0%. They don't, that's not how they work. So, and I guess, you know, again, when I've been challenged by other paranormal teams, and I have. I've had them
be a little upset. Yeah.
That's where I go. And they may find it irresponsible. But the way they find me irresponsible for not necessarily believing in demons, I find irresponsible to place that on another human being. And again, just because the word demon isn't in my vocabulary doesn't mean I don't believe in negative. Obviously, there's negative energy. If there's positive, there's negative.
Right. We must know the difference.
Right. And negative can feel heavy and oppressive. And I get that. I just don't believe it's the way to exist, let's say, old school wise. I don't go in with holy water. I don't go in with an icon from the church. My guess would be if that's an issue, then you should go to a priest or a minister or a pastor, but it shouldn't be somebody like me. I'm there for the research of paranormal. I'm there to, if somebody says, you know, my house feels heavy, I need your help, then I'll help you with your sages or your oils or what makes you happy to change the energy, but it's your space, so you should be the person to change it. I think, you know, again, power of suggestion is something that I'm dealing with right now and kind of trying to learn is, you know, just because you have, say, a rather famous paranormal investigator come in your house and he says, well, I've gotten rid of the demon, you should be good. And then they're all like, oh, my gosh, it feels so much lighter. Well, I mean, you kind of were just suggested that.
Right. And you believe in putting the power in the person.
I think we deal with it every day. You're surrounded.
Oh, yeah.
You know more than anyone. We're surrounded every day by it.
Right.
It's you're in the living world.
Right.
And for me, I believe what pierces the veil is either their lessons, messages, sometimes maybe the negative is not really negative. Maybe they're just tough lessons we need to learn. I don't know. That's the thing that I want to explore and that we want to explore. And I think that, again, I think there are plenty of teams that can handle all the demonologist stuff.
Right.
I don't think we need another team like that. I think that if, you know, we just kind of offer a different, and we might not fit everybody's needs.
Which is true.
And if we don't, we would say we can help you find a team that deals with this because, look, you're not going to hurt my feelings.
Right.
You know, and I'm not there to change your mind. So, you know, you got to go. But I do think there's a place for us. I think there are probably more people that would be willing to say, yeah, maybe I do believe in ghosts because now you're making it a little bit more commonsensical.
Right.
And now I can see that being a possibility.
Right.
Does that make sense? Like,
makes a lot of sense. So what do you feel about people who definitely go in with, like, a large team? I mean, don't you feel like that's too much? It's hard to get anything if everybody's moving around and so many people.
Well, right? Like, if you're going in with a large team and you're going to a place like Waverly, then I think you're fine.
Waverly's huge.
Right. So then you're talking about, you know, it is what it is.
Right.
You're going in there. You're going for the ambiance. You're going for the stories. You know, my team. Yeah, we've certainly done all the places that ghost adventures and ghost hunters. Like you've done all these.
Right.
They're fun. You want to do them. But believe me, you're not reinventing the wheel out there by going to those places.
Right.
And I think that those are great for anybody that's like just wanting to do it kind of here and there. And oh, it'd be fun to go do it for next. It's scary. That's great. But I think that when you do a more intimate investigation, I think then you're willing to, well, one, you have less contamination, right?
Right.
You're not going to have all these people walking around.
Right.
But I think that, and you kind of said it, there's a psychology behind it. So I think when you do smaller venues with a smaller team, you're really learning the psychology of who you're working with. You're kind of learning the psychology of the building. You know, I'm really corny when it comes to this. I follow mother buildings and spaces, and like I feel they're a living entity, and I love them, and I want to get to know them and what lived inside of it, and you know what secrets do they hold.
Right.
So I think that's why I like a smaller team. I think that you really get to know the place and the person you're working with so much better. And
yeah.
I think that you're maybe you get a little different evidence that comes out of it because you're looking at it a little different. When you're there at a public hunt or you're at a really big venue, your fear takes over. It's because it's like going to a haunted house to set up, right?
Right.
Because they're going to guarantee you, like, you go to Waverly, even though you guys got great evidence.
Yeah, we got really great evidence, but it was a big place, and we got it in lockdown, and, you know, even though we had I would say a lot of people with us, it didn't seem like
right.
it because it was so much, but I've always done those things with, you know, Andrea, who you met, and, you know, I always say Brittany, you didn't meet, she didn't come along, but Andrea and her mother Pam are the two people you met that come along with us, you know, all the time or have that, and they just, you know, have that, that's their hobby in doing things, and we were able to capture some things that we couldn't explain,
right?
You know, and we were right there. So, you know, it goes back to like, okay, how do you explain those things? How do you explain those things?
Well, I think that's so. If it's your hobby, then when you're done with your investigation, you leave and you're done. And,
right.
And you kind of focus on the experiences that you
have. Right.
But when you do it and you're kind of in it the way, like I'd say, VP Paranormal is that then it's not over. It's
no.
never over.
See, we didn't go, you know, investigate, like, the land, really, or the building. Like, I didn't know afterwards it was really a utopian society. And, you know, I didn't know any of things, but as far as my end, I'm not supposed to know any of those things.
No, you go in.
You know?
Well, and here's the thing. I think when, like, we, Michelle and I did one, a very, very popular location in Western New York. She had been a couple times, and actually Debbie had gone with her one of the couple times, and then I went just this last August. And I just will say, and this is where, again, paranormal teams have kind of given me their opinion, which is fine, because I just said, I call bullshit. It's not haunted. It just isn't. But the stories that are attached to the house, and many books have been written about this, many of the shows do a lockdown on this place. If they would do and be honest about the research, most of the stories that come out of that house are actually about places around that house, not even the house itself. And so, and that's the part that to me is more exciting. Like, we found not far from the home that we were investigating was this lake, and it's where they found the first oil in the United States.
Wow.
And it's this, and it's gated, it's this really small little area, and it's in Indian territory. And so it's something where, you know,
that makes a lot of sense. Anything Indian area around the
world.
Yeah, that's like tainted land.
And I get that they have to say this stuff because they want to bring money in. And I think that you should always pay for those public investigations to help preserve history. Absolutely, hands down, don't even think about it, do it.
Right.
A lot of times it's $30 or $50. Do yourself a favor.
Right.
Do it for you and do it for the location. But I just think adding all the, it's like my husband always says, Saving Private Ryan. It's like that movie has every horror of war in one movie. Well, a lot of these locations put every horror of paranormal into one location,
okay.
Even though it might only have one aspect.
Right. Exactly.
But you got to sell it. And I think that's where our team, like, it's okay if it doesn't have a gory history to it. We just want to investigate and get in there and find the real hunting, the real paranormal that comes through, the messages that might be coming through.
Right.
So, you know, I think, you know, with Waverly, there's probably so much more to that location than
it's
just a building.
Be. Yeah.
So, you know, that's the fun part. So it's your investigation. Like, Vicksboro, for me, is still not over. Still
right.
reading the book, still looking at things. Things will start to come together. So it might take you a year to actually finalize your investigation.
Right.
And put your opinion on it.
That's pretty cool.
So,
that's pretty cool. And going back to, now we can go back to the equipment.
Uh-huh.
Because I know we were talking in our meeting how, you know, I forgot what I was watching or whatever. And, you know, they were using different things to, you know, and I think we've done that in investigation as far as, like, to bring the ghost in, and I saw one, and I asked, I was like, have you guys brought, like, dolls with you?
Right.
I know we at one time brought, like, a ball or,
right.
or something like that.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know you guys, you know, you guys' experience in bringing a tool with you.
Yeah, we love our equipment. When you first get into paranormal, you'll buy everything that's out there. And it's changed a lot. Like, a lot of the stuff that we bought for $20 is now $75. Like, they definitely, if something is deemed paranormal,
right.
then they can jack the price up and we all eat it up. So I would say for us, we have a lot of fun equipment.
Okay.
But if we're going to, what we would rely on most is, and I brought that with the KT meter.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that in because we were watching that movie and I was like
yeah.
talking about some things and I was like, what the?
Yeah, so the K2 for us is, it's blinky lights. As I like to say, that's the technical term, it's blinky
right.
light. And that's, you know, it's an EMF detector, and there is no, so here's where I,
right.
where I start to kind
yeah.
of step on the toes of other paranormal teams. There is no real, nobody knows why a K2 meter or an EMF reader actually interacts with the other side. What we can assume is that picks up, and it's actually, it was just going off.
Yeah, it was just going off a few minutes ago.
So what that does is it picks up anything that's electrically charged. And then what we can assume is that the other side, whatever energy it brings, interrupts the K2 meter and makes it go off. So a lot of times we use it to ask yes-no questions. You know, are you a man? Blink once, if, you know, it's yes. Blink twice if it's no. So we do that. To me, is like, and you're in the dark half the time, right? So
right.
that you can see,
right.
if,
you
it's
can see
if it's interacting. So a K2 meter for sure. We do have a FLIR for our iPhone or iPad, which is heat. Thermal imaging, you know.
Oh yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, so that's and you.
That
but again,
cool.
you have to be really careful because with any kind of heat signatures, you have to be careful that something isn't super reflective, that it's not something. And I showed, and I did show this to you
yeah.
actually two summers ago when I came with you on a quick little investigation. You know, when you put your hand on a wall,
yeah.
you don't realize, even if it's on there for a hot second, that it leaves a pretty big heat signature.
Yeah,
and
it does.
Lasts for a
yeah,
while.
Wow.
So I think sometimes those things can be. Maybe misinterpreted for the other side when maybe you accidentally sat on something or had your arm against it or you didn't realize your coat was touching something. So, but it's still a fun piece of equipment to kind of use. Digital recorders, obviously, that's probably our favorite. We probably,
right.
again, I would almost say 90%, hopefully my sisters would agree with this, 90% of our evidence would be voice.
Yeah, I like the voice.
And they're pretty clear. We don't, I'll just call it Zach Bagans. We don't go with the clicks and buzzes. It's got to be words for us to say, yeah, that's absolutely something that
right.
we hear. And again, when we have a speech pathologist able to listen to them and tell you these are words,
yeah,
that
is
these
so
are
cool.
words. Yeah.
yeah.
So that's huge. And then, you know, I do use a ghost app. My husband makes fun of me all the time. It's 99 cents. But I'm going to tell you, and I know.
I like my apps too. My
yeah.
app's kind of like working. I know Andrea. You know, Brittany, we've had experience when we were at Shawshank with the app, and
yeah.
it was
were you
going
using
off.
Yeah,
the one
yeah.
you said, it
yeah.
was going off,
yeah.
and one, it was just talking.
And you know, the thing is this, you should always look at it, it's entertainment only.
Right.
However, and you know, maybe later on, if we do another show, I can tell you some of my stories. I have just, it has given me a name, and that name was tied to where I was and kind of followed me from there. And I use that term follow very loosely, but that I think that whatever was there will always kind of be a part of me. It is fun to use because it can give you some jumping
right.
points. I wouldn't say I would use it for hard evidence or hard scientific evidence, but it is a good place as an investigator just to kind of use and have fun. I know some very famous, like a medium, do think it's a great app, and then there are people that say it's kind of silly and crazy
right.
and crap. But
no,
yeah,
I like that.
White chalk, you know, you should always carry a pack of white chalk in your bag because if somebody says something moves, this way you can circle the item without damaging furniture or locations, especially if they're historical, and you can see if that object that they claim moves all the time actually breaks your line of chalk. So I would say, and then, you know, your cameras, digital cameras
right.
and video cameras. We always seem to miss the video camera thing. Like, and I'll just say, when you watch the TV shows, and you shouldn't take your lessons from TV shows. Don't don't do that. If you're going to learn paranormal, I guess I would read books and maybe talk to other teams or go to the public conference that teams are hosting and watch
right.
how they do it. I would do that before I would probably go off of a TV show. But it seems to me, even when the big dogs use video cameras, they never have all the angles covered. So although they'll have something taping and you see something move, you're kind of, for me, where my head goes is, okay, but what's underneath that? Because I can't see all angles, so I still can't say that it's
that's
not
a scientific mind. Like,
I can't say that it's not being manipulated by a human.
Right.
So I don't trust that too much. We do have dowsing rods, and there have been instances where those things work amazing.
I have never used those, so I'm excited to see how
and
that
I'm,
goes.
I'm curious when we use them with you, like, I think that it depends who you're working with.
Yeah.
I've had them when they work, and my sister Michelle can confirm this. We've had it work with somebody, I believe she was Albanian, and that they were she was actually asking questions in Albania and then the things were the dowsing rods were answering the questions, and I would say to her, I don't know what you're asking, so you have to tell me if this is answering correctly. And she's like, yeah, it is.
Wow.
So I think dowsing rods are great. But a lot of times, if you're in the middle of an investigation, it's really dark. You can't see what's going on.
Yeah.
And then we have, like, pendulums. We do have a shack hack or spirit box, which is the radios that you,
cool.
you kind of tamper with. And they run through the AM stations. I loved it in the beginning. And they're fun. I'll just say, I think you should use them for entertainment only. I don't think that they're good for getting
really
actual evidence. I really don't, because you're picking up voices. Although I do have kind of a story that goes with the shack hack that kind of is kind of creepy. And it stopped on a radio station. We were at a very famous place in Buffalo, New York, and we actually go there a lot. And it was a church, and then it was a funeral home, and then now it's a museum. And it's a museum full of... any war that America was in. And so we were sitting in this one room and the shack hack was going off and it's spinning through the stations and it stopped on music, like an old creepy song, right at the beginning of the song, and it just, like, from the 20s.
Wow.
And it was just a really, it was like, okay, out of all the things that it could stop on and at the beginning of the song, it was very
That's
creepy.
Cool.
So,
That's
I mean,
cool.
yeah, there's some equipment, and I think as you get into investigating, you kind of realize I just always gravitate to.
Right.
And you always have your recorder. And if you don't have your recorder, then you can do your phone recorder.
Which is cool.
So, you know, I think that although all that fun equipment and REM pods and, you know, the K2s and the teddy bear, I guess.
Right.
But when you're on investigation, you don't want to have to pack up a giant suitcase full of equipment. I think you should go with some tried and true. And
right.
So for us, our team is, and it's not invasive, I think, what we use.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, it's pretty cool. And disposable cameras. I always tell people disposable cameras are really good for really catching some really, really good stuff. When you can't see it, I always say just flash.
Yeah.
You know, so those are the things that, I wanted to talk about as far as equipment, because you can see so many people bring in so much stuff in investigations, and you're like, what the hell are they bringing in? Like, in that.
Right. Plus, you know, some of this stuff, again, I mean, what are you testing this on? Because you can't see you tested it on a ghost.
Right.
There's no real solid evidence that you did. So I just think you should go with, again, it's your personal, paranormal, probably 50% psychology, probably 30% personal experiences, and then the rest is up for grabs. I think that, you know, you have to be realistic at what you're looking at and what you're using. And I think all these new fun, you know, there's now an EVT, I think, watch you can have, an Apple Watch. And,
yeah.
You know, I just think they start to get a little too complicated.
Right.
I think you should go, you've got to kind of weed out the room for error. Even with digital cameras, there's a lot of room for error. I would love, if there's a female out there that's a professional photographer that would love to work with us, I would love to have a professional photographer come out and take pictures of investigations so you could understand the shutter speed. And I don't know anything about photography.
Right.
But there are reasons why you get orbs, and a lot of times it isn't what you think it is.
Right.
And it is camera error. So, you know, that stuff is where I think we kind of differ from other teams.
Yeah.
You know,
which is great.
When we use equipment.
Which
and
is
stuff,
great.
So.
Which is great.
Yeah.
I know we're getting towards like the end of the show, so where do you think where you want to take VP next?
as far as what do you mean?
So as far as, like, you know, the investigation houses, I definitely want them to know that you'll be speaking at an engagement soon. So talk about that real quick.
I was asked and invited to speak for the German Women Professional Association, and
yes,
that will be this Friday. So really, I think
you guys got to go check it out.
Yes,
it's this Friday. Where?
It's at the, I believe, Southfield Marriott. You can check it out on their Facebook page. It's the German Professional or German Women Professional Association. So I think really with us, I guess I just really want to get our name out there. And if people want to, you know, we are getting more into home studies, especially now that we have you. We want to get more into less away. We do want to do some public hunts. We would love to be able to hook up with some great historical locations and help them host events. But we really kind of want to do more of the real investigating and history.
Right.
So the smaller venues, the homes that people call and ask and
you know, or people are, you know, comfortable in asking because it's real personal. And
then hopefully
you know,
classes.
People,
you know,
yeah.
Hopefully we'll get into
we
want to
do classes.
Yeah.
We definitely want to do classes. We'll be doing classes, you know, basically the classroom will be Mind's Eye Bookstore or Mind's Eye Healing Center. And, you know, at Hayes, 21 in Hayes. Also, tell them how they can reach us.
Yes. So you can, the best way to do it is you can, if you go to VP Paranormal on Facebook, you can message us or you can go to VP Paranormal, all one word, at gmail.com and we will get back to you in less than 24 hours. I always have my phone attached to my hip. So, and then, you know, at that point, we can exchange phone numbers. I don't really like to put our personal cell phones out there.
Right.
But you can reach us absolutely on Facebook. Look us up. Like us. Talk to us. Please interact with us. We want to hear from you. Like, I didn't put that page up there to be a shining star. I just wanted to put it up there and hope that people would put an opinion out there. Or, hey, have you ever thought of this? Like, change my mind. If there's something that I talk about that you don't like or, you know, if you think I should maybe explore the demon side of it more, change my mind. Tell me, show me something.
Or give us individual places.
Yeah.
You know, because
yeah,
we were saying that next year we want to really investigate, like, the upper UP.
Yeah, go to the UP.
We talked about the UP and doing that. And me and Sarah, even with this, we don't have, like, enough time to get into. I wanted to get into with Sarah a bunch of stories, you know, that they have experienced. And I plan on doing a part two, so next month. We'll have Sarah again on, you know, me and Courtney decided that, you know, we'll have Sarah again because I had so many questions about, you know, just, you know, her start and getting into it, her experience. I didn't get a chance to get into what was her first experience with the ghost? If she had any, you know, we didn't get into that, you know.
We'll have to listen next month.
Right. Get into that. You know, I didn't get a chance to, like, throw questions at her. You know, and then, you know, just the thing that, you know, I'm pretty sure you guys can go to, you know, the Facebook page and, you know, ask questions so I can, you know, ask her on air,
and
even if you are a skeptic.
Yep.
Yeah, and
exactly.
I check in.
Never checks in all
so
time.
It's really, really cool. Definitely for me, you can find me at DeborahPsychicMedium.com. I am a professional, however you want to put it, psychic medium. Doing it for like 5 years, been very gifted ever since birth. You definitely can book me for anything. You can book it online or you can talk to my assistant, Lissa. I'm here doing the radio show every third Tuesday. The next show, definitely having Sarah on would be great. And then, you know, next time maybe we'll have the other two sisters who we got to, like, bribe to, you know, call in to be on. You know, maybe they thought that we were going to videotape it.
There's no video.
Well, maybe we will videotape it next time.
Let's
but we can be
FaceTime.
Like, we'll do a FaceTime. Yeah, FaceTime.
Yeah.
Or we'll do Facebook Live.
Yeah. Oh, Facebook.
Where, you
absolutely
know, they can really see our interaction.
Yeah.
It was also the thing that you're going to be at for the, you said it's the German.
Yeah, Professional Women's Association.
Yeah.
I hope I'm not saying it wrong. I think it's German Women Professionals. I think it's GWPA.
And your topic is?
It's going to be basics to ghost hunting. And I'm going to go over equipment. I do have evidence to share there. and just anything that, you know, would interest them. There'll be questions. I think the presentation's like anywhere from 15 minutes to 30 minutes long. So I have a slideshow, and I've got equipment to show and some EVPs to hear, and some photographic, even though I'm not huge on photographs, but I did bring some photographic.
Do you know how much the tickets are?
I believe they're $28 a ticket, and that does include a meet and greet at the beginning, and then I believe it's drinks, dinner, and then the presentation.
That's going to be nice.
So come join us.
And do you, Cheryl, real quick, do you often do engagements like that? Is that something you're open to?
I am
People want to call you. You know, one thing I thought real quick was really interesting with you, that you definitely did the Detroit Yacht Club, and that was interesting.
Well, yeah, because most people were already, by the time they came to me, they'd been partying all night. So that was a little bit like wrestling toddlers, but it was.
But she did a tour and the history kind of like of that, which was really, really awesome.
Yeah,
really
we're open to whatever, you know, if there's something, if, you know, it's kind of a fun, just a fun thing to do. I am not a public speaker. I'm not an actress. I'm not. It's just who I am. It's who my sisters are.
You guys have got to see her. You've got to see her. It's so natural.
So it's a lot. It's just a lot of fun. So, yeah, we're open to, you know, this is just, you know, we are so thankful and appreciate that you've invited us to do your show. And we're so excited about the Professional Women Association. Like, we're just giddy. So, you know what? Hey, who knows what could happen from here. We're game.
Well, I'm excited.
It's on.
I know. I'm excited to be part of the team. And I've met Deb, and I've got to meet the other sister.
Yeah, a brief meeting.
I can't wait till we kind of all get together, and I just got a feeling it's going
to
be hilarious. We're getting a lot of places together to kind of explore, which is going to be really, really good.
And if you have any suggestions, throw it out on Facebook for us. We would love to.
Please. Courtney, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
I'm kind of calling.
Yeah.
I'm like, is she still there? So, Courtney, I hope you heard everything. Courtney, one thing I want to say that, you know, me and Sarah had a meeting. We were talking about Eloise, and I told her she had to meet you to talk about Eloise. So we're going to talk about that in our next show.
Awesome. Yeah, I had a pretty interesting experience with Eloise. Deborah knows about that.
Yeah.
Hear it.
Awesome. So, Deborah, are you all set?
I am all set, and we're just going to, you know, continue with Sarah on our next show.
Awesome. I know that you did want to mention a little bit about candles for the new moon. You have a couple minutes left. Did you want to go over that real quick?
Yes. You reminded me. Yes, the new moon is tomorrow, and everyone always blessed on my page, you know, to burn candles. So for the new moon tomorrow, it's very important that you write out your intentions for everything that's new. Lately, I've been experiencing a lot of clients in just crazy mode and just not really being able to see the light. So once we kind of walk out of this darkness, we'll walk into a new moon, and you'll be able to write your intentions for everything to manifest. You know, I've been telling a lot of people just, you know, hold on. A lot of things have been seeming really, really crazy. A lot of things have been seeming a little shitty. But you got to, like, really focus on tonight and write your intentions. You can definitely go to Candlewick. Mention my name, Deborah, and you'll get a discount because I'm definitely, that's like my second family, my second home. Their candles do work. You know, right now, as far as my, what I'm burning road opener, you know, and as far as like clients and clientele, if you're in business, I would definitely get Querent Caller. Like, those are my two things that's, really gets me going. As far as like love energy, you know what? My best thing to kind of like burn for, I tell people to burn for is love energy, Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve seem to like definitely do that. And I definitely recommend Dorothy Morrison's Red Stilettos. Red Stilettos is for any type of love that puts fire on everything. But definitely be careful of it. Make sure you like the person before you burn something, and then you got somebody you don't really want on your shoulder. So those are my suggestions, like, for the new moon. But definitely get your candles and start burning tonight or tomorrow.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Courtney.
Thanks, Courtney.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening live with Voice for Spirit. Feel free to go to bodymindspiritradio.com where you can actually listen to it in its entirety. You can also listen to all of Deborah's other episodes on there. So once again, bodymindspiritradio.com and Voice for Spirit. Thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful rest of the night.